Cougar Nation, this is your conductor speaking, and welcome again aboard the Hype Train podcast. I am your conductor, Joe Wheat. That's at JoeWheat27 on Twitter. As always, with my boys, Hunter Miller and Trevor Levitt. Guys, what was your reaction when BYU's seed showed up as a six?
Whoa. I mean, can we start with some hype? This is the Hype Train after
sorry,
all.
Sorry.
And for the first time in Hype Train podcast history, the Cougars are going dancing. What was your reaction when you heard BYU just listed at all? Like, we've been doing this podcast now for, 3 years? And it's been devastating. I guess the first, well, how did we start? No. We started the podcast after, like, probably 3 or 4 months after the first.
September 2021. And you know what, Hunter? You're absolutely right. I apologize for bringing the wrong energy. Let's start this over.
It was like,
what's up, Cougar Nation? And welcome again aboard the Hype Train podcast. I'm your host, Joe Wheat. That's at JoeWheat27 on Twitter. As always, with my boys, Hunter Miller and Trevor Levitt. Yo, Cougs going dancing, baby.
That's my dancing music.
Play it. Dancing shoes.
Yes. Play the music. Restart the old March Madness theme song going into this part.
It's one shining moment.
Well, that's what we'll play when BYU wins.
It's one shining moment.
Just here, we'll be quiet for 30 seconds. You sing it, and that will be our intro music.
That'll just be the intro.
The ball is tipped. There you are.
Did you guys see?
Words, you're a shooting star.
Did you guys see the post from the Kansas fan that did that for Jerome Tang? That was like the funniest thing ever.
Oh, so good. Guys, I have fallen in love with BYU sports all over again for the first time in probably 3 weeks. I am just overjoyed and thrilled and unable to sleep because I am just so excited about the future of BYU athletics. And the future begins on Thursday against Duquesne in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yes. I mean, speaking of falling in love, like BYU sports and specifically BYU men's basketball has just revamped my love for the sport of basketball just in general. I mean, I can't tell you how many conference tournament games, not even just championship games, but how many conference tournament games, not even just for the Big 12, but for all sorts of different conferences I found myself watching throughout the week. I watched really almost all of the Big 12 tournament games. Found myself watching Drake and Indiana State. I mean, it was just like BYU has opened my eyes. Their brand of basketball and the conference of basketball that they're playing in has opened my eyes once again to the beauty of basketball. And the beautiful thing about it is we get to keep going. This Thursday, we get to see more BYU basketball with Mark Pope and the boys.
It would be like, for me, it's the same kind of like thrill and I guess enjoyment, for lack of a better word, as like the 2020 football season brought me, except instead of playing Western Kentucky every like week in and week out, we're playing in the SEC and BYU is competing. Like I'm watching the upper echelon of the sport and thinking, yeah, BYU beat them like 2 weeks ago. It's like, it's just so foreign to me to be watching college sports at the highest possible levels and think, yeah, BYU is on that level. Like, it's just, it's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. Imagine 2020, but they just came off of a win against Alabama, LSU, and Arkansas. Just like how that would feel. It'd be like, oh my gosh, like, not only is this high level football, but no one can even question whether or not they're successful or not. Like, I know at the beginning of the year with BYU, with their out of conference schedule, the term paper tiger came up several times. That's got to be the most freezing cold take of all time, right? I mean, that's cold enough. That was cold enough to sink the Titanic. I mean, that's how bad it was.
Hear me out. Is there even like a tiny piece of you though that just thinks like, are we sure BYU's for real? Like, maybe that's just like battered fan syndrome, like sifting through my head, but there's still a small part of me that's like, okay, this is too good to be true. There's no way that BYU is actually this good.
Yeah. I don't want to start the podcast negatively, but BYU was a six seed the last time they were in the NCAA tournament and lost round one. So it's not.
Which, again, like there's definitely a part of it that it's like, okay, how is BYU going to find a way to get upset in the first round of the NCAA tournament? But
yeah. I mean, if they come out like they did against Iowa or against Texas Tech, like upset.
For sure. But like UCLA, the quality of team that UCLA had in 2021 and the Wackatology score that UCLA had, that UCLA team had a better resume than BYU and somehow ended up on the 11 seed line. I have no idea how that worked out. Duquesne is not UCLA.
Sure.
UCLA, I think, was in the 40s in KenPom, 40s in net. They had, you know, multiple quad one wins. Duquesne is like in the 80s. This is the equivalent of playing a team worse than like Kansas State. This is a team that would be on the lower end of the Big 12, obviously. So I think there's a little bit of a difference between like, okay, UCLA was just a brutal matchup for BYU. I think BYU should be favored probably by double digits against Duquesne.
I think they're favored by 8 is the spread right now.
About right. I'll have to look and see what KenPom has them at.
You say they're like Kansas State. BYU is 1-1 against Kansas State this year.
For sure. Like I tweet, so, but here's the thing. I tweeted it out. BYU outside the top 50 of KenPom, I think, is 17-2 this season against teams outside the top 50. And in the two games that they lost, BYU shot a combined 21% from three, and their opponent shot a combined 49% from three. So, and obviously Kansas State was one of those. I just like, I say this as BYU is coming off their worst 3-point shooting performance of the season, pretty much. But like, there's no way BYU does that again.
Well, look at BYU's record this year coming off of a loss. I mean, I can't take complete credit for this, but shout out Jerem Jordan for talking about this earlier in the week. But BYU's ability to bounce back, especially from a disappointing performance, is unmatched. They've been able to go on a lot of successful runs following kind of a stinker, which, you know, we just had with Texas Tech. It's also the other thing too, is we're also not coming like 18 hours rest off of a very physical game against UCF. That ultimately felt like probably the thing that really did in BYU. Because if you look at every game, for really every team in that Big 12 tournament, the team that came in rested came in hot in every single game. Like Houston went up 18-0 on TCU. Texas Tech went on their crazy run against BYU. BYU did this exact same thing to UCF, and it just showed that in a conference tournament like that, getting that top 4 seed is so vital, because you are just in a knockout, like drag out fight the entire time otherwise. And that to me is what really got BYU, was just being physically exhausted. I'd have to imagine that as awesome as he played against UCF, like Ali Khalifa had to be dragging with what he was doing with Ramadan, same with Foose. And this is a team now that's coming off of like, what, like a week, like 10 days. I feel like they're going to be fresh, and Duquesne isn't really one that shoots the ball. They play good defense, but while saying this respectfully, like they haven't been defending the Big 12. And that to me is where BYU being battle tested, not only in the conference tournament, but in the season, I think is going to be ultimately something that comes to play in a large part come Thursday.
Ramadan will still be going during the first few rounds, I think. Maybe if BYU were to reach the Final Four, Foose and Ali would no longer be practicing Ramadan. Fortunately, I think BYU's game is like 10:40 a.m., right?
Yeah.
Although they'll be in Omaha, so it'll be like 11:40. I was trying to like do math of like how soon before the game can Ali and
it'd be the exact situation as what they went through in the Big 12 tournament. Like they've done this twice before.
Yeah.
It's a central time zone game, I believe. correct my geography here.
Yeah, Missouri. Omaha is central.
And not Missouri. Kansas City is in the central time zone as well.
Yes.
I don't know. So by the numbers, Duquesne is 28th in KenPom defensive efficiency. They are 128th in offensive efficiency. So really we are playing, we're essentially playing UCF, like, but a more diet version, I would have to say. But like the good news is like, BYU has played these kinds of teams. They're prepared to play these kinds of teams that like to muck it up, don't play a lot of great offense, but are physical, will try and turn you over, will block shots, like all of those things. And BYU, I'm pretty sure, has scored, has posted a season high on pretty much every team in the top 30 of defensive efficiency that they've played this season. I think they scored the most points on Iowa State, most points on UCF, most points on Houston. These are all teams that are better defensively than Duquesne. So really it just comes down to, can BYU make shots? And it's kind of how the season has gone, like all like this entire time. If BYU shoots better than 32% from three, they win. If they shoot worse than 32% from three, they lose. But again, the good news is, looking at the trends, to Trevor and Jerem Jordan's point, BYU has not shot under 30% in two straight games this season. They rebound really well from difficult performances. I don't expect them to have another game where they're shooting, you know, in the 20s from distance, let alone the 20s from the field in general. And I don't know. I don't see Duquesne as that team that's going to keep BYU from rebounding like they have all season.
Well, and this is an offense that Duquesne hasn't seen all year either. I mean, it's one of those things too. You mentioned the offensive output that BYU has put up against teams like Iowa State and Houston and UCF. Well, they put up 80 against UCF in their third time playing them. I mean, this is a UCF team that had two other times plus another week to prepare for BYU and still couldn't stop it. And so it's, again, this is all like, I'm not predicting anything because we know how that ends up, but this is, there's a lot of things that are advantage BYU, where if you as a BYU fan feel confident in this matchup, you're validated in doing so.
Well, it's about as, again, I say this reluctantly, but it's about as winnable of a matchup as you can ask for from an 11 seed, let alone a 12 seed, especially like with how strong the 11 and 12 seeds are in this tournament. I think BYU actually got a great draw.
Yeah, I'm looking at their like season to this point. I think their best win is probably against Dayton in the conference tournament.
Yeah,
I mean, you have losses to teams like Rice, Princeton, a loss to Santa Clara, a loss to UMass, a pretty big loss to UMass, a loss to Loyola Chicago. So it's a pretty, there's a lot more bad losses, it looks like, than good wins on the resume of Duquesne or Duquesne.
Duquesne.
Duquesne. That's the Utah in me.
I did a Google Translate last night to get the official.
Duquesne. I think is how it actually is supposed to be pronounced. But yeah, and you talked about, Joe, like this is as winnable of a 6-11 matchup as you'll get in the NCAA tournament. And that I think is solely because it's not really a 6-11 matchup. It's far closer to a 5-12, even borderline 4-13 matchup.
Yeah.
That just so happens to be slotted in that 6-11 seed because frankly put, the committee was lazy and didn't want to try to figure out a way to put BYU in the appropriate seed line and figure out how to get them to not play on a Sunday.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about that at all? Is that?
Yeah. There's been a lot of different stuff. The best way I've seen it put was 801 Bracketology. They had a tweet today kind of outlining it. Some of the bigger points were, a lot of people were talking about like, oh, well, BYU couldn't play on a Sunday and that's why they were a six seed. I'll paraphrase some of this. 801 Bracketology says the committee places teams in the first four seed lines into pods for the first weekend of the tournament. And they randomly line up with the second weekend regionals of the tournament. So you could play Thursday, Saturday, and then Friday, Sunday in the next weekend, or really any combination. They had an easy option to put BYU in place of Kansas. You would send Kansas to Spokane, bring Auburn or Alabama to Salt Lake. And then, you know, you have the BYU, potential BYU Auburn or BYU Alabama matchup in the second round in Salt Lake, and then don't have them play on a Sunday. He essentially says either the committee was lazy about how they did it, two, refused to move Kansas out of Salt Lake and had to make wild accommodations to BYU seed to adjust for that. Three, wanted to disadvantage BYU for Sunday play, or four, didn't really want to have BYU have a virtual home game in the tournament. I honestly think it's probably a combination of one and four. I don't, like, they didn't really disadvantage BYU at all because, again, like, they got a probably a more favorable, at least first round matchup.
Yeah.
Than they would have had if they were a five seed. Like, I'd rather be playing Duquesne than be playing James Madison.
Well, honestly, I think they got a more favorable second and third round matchup if BYU were to get there. Like, if
third,
like,
round, I agree.
Comparing, round, I don't know. Oh, comparing BYU to like San Diego State, you get they get James Madison in the first round, which is a brutal draw, and then in the second round,
Wisconsin gets James Madison.
Oh, sorry. Does San Diego
State get McNeese?
I need to look up the bracket. I haven't filled mine out yet.
You haven't been filling in one out nonstop ever since it dropped. So you have San Diego State, UAB, and then in the second round would have to play Auburn.
So, yeah.
Third
so
round UAB, would have to play UConn, potentially.
UAB's an okay draw. Auburn is brutal. Like, Auburn is freaking good.
Which they, I want on the record last week when I said, would you rather play Auburn or South Carolina? And you said South Carolina,
I've changed my mind. I've changed my mind after the SEC tournament, because coming in, Auburn was 2-7 in quad one, and then they just like completely ran through the entire SEC tournament. So I got a little bit more data. I feel comfortable saying Auburn is kind of a wagon. But I mean, even if San Diego State gets past UAB and Auburn, their reward is to play UConn in the Sweet 16. And I'm sorry, BYU is probably not beating UConn.
No,
if they had 10 tries, like UConn is just that good.
Honestly, I think looking at it, St. Mary's may have gotten, because like Grand Canyon is a tough 12 seed, but like you,
I have that as an upset. I think Grand Canyon.
I do too.
But I think if St. Mary's wins that game, you are looking at a better path. Because then you have Alabama probably in the second round.
And then North Carolina.
And then North Carolina, who North Carolina has been good all year, but I think those are two pretty beatable teams as far as beating a four and a one seed go. The other one is being in Gonzaga's place, and then you play Kansas in round two. But BYU against Kansas in the second round of the NCAA tournament in Salt Lake, I don't know how the committee passed that up. Like, I get the whole like rematch thing, but that would have been an unreal environment. And then BYU would probably play Purdue after that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's
given BYU's lack of height, would get wrecked by
that. Hey, I would love to, I would pay money to see Foose take on Edie.
It's like 6'8 versus 7'3.
Dude, Edie, Purdue isn't good in the NCAA tournament. They haven't made it out of the round of 64 in 4 years, and they've been 1, 2, and 3 seeds. Like, yeah. I do not buy a Matt Painter team come March.
Hey Cougar fans, just wanted to tell you all about our new sponsor, Defense Drinks. Defense is a premium recovery mix specifically designed to aid in injury prevention and tissue restoration, setting it apart from typical sports drinks. Defense is formulated with high quality ingredients, primarily collagen and vitamin C, to help keep athletes playing the sports they love. Whether you're an athlete or just at home after a tough workout, Defense can help you recover and recover quickly. Defense contains collagen, which research suggests can help strengthen and restore tissues around joints, reducing the risk of soft tissue injuries. So head to defensedrinks.com today to place your order. Use the code HYPETRAIN at checkout for 10% off, and right now, get free shipping on all orders of $75 or more. That's defensedrinks.com.
I look at the five seeds and think like, okay, how many of them would I trade our path for theirs? Like, I think you're right. Maybe St. Mary's and that's it. But even then, like,
I'd say Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. But all those 12, all those 12 seeds scare the crap out of me, man. Like Grand Canyon, James Madison, and
UAB,
McNeese. I want no part of those three teams. All of those teams, I think, have won 30 games this season or darn near close to it. Those teams just don't know how to lose. And so that scares me a little bit more than a Duquesne team who's 80th in KenPom.
I will say where BYU really got lucky is that if they are able to win in the round of 32 against Illinois, I would much rather play Iowa State than UConn.
Oh, for sure.
In the Sweet 16 for a chance to go to the Elite Eight. Like, I think that BYU-Iowa State, like, BYU won big in Provo. They narrowly lost on the road in Ames, and then to play them in a neutral site. Like, I know they are hot and they just won the conference tournament and beat Houston pretty handedly to do so. But just given how those two games between the Cougars and Cyclones went in the regular season, that would, like, I would be feeling all right about BYU's chances going into that game. I would not feel all right about the BYU's chances going into a game against UConn.
For sure. I think the path, it's funny, but I think the path to the Sweet 16 is harder than the path to the Elite Eight. I like the path to the Elite Eight more than I like it to the Sweet 16. I think it just kind of comes down to, can you get by Illinois? And then Iowa State, again, you've beat them once. You should have beat them a second time. And it just comes down to, can you make shots? And that's really how it will go with BYU throughout the NCAA tournament. Because I think BYU is going to get plenty of open looks against both Duquesne and Illinois. Like, the offense is so difficult to prepare for. Duquesne obviously has a great defense. Illinois does not have a great defense.
No, they are 240th in the country in points allowed per game. They're giving up 74 points per game. And then when you look at opponents, 3-point percentage, opponents are shooting 34% against them, which is 235th in the country.
Yeah. So again, that's a winnable matchup. Like, that's the part
on short rest.
And again, short rest, little time to prepare for BYU's incredibly complicated 5-out offense. Like, it scares me, honestly, because like the path is there for this to be a team I tell my grandkids about, and somehow I just have this awful sinking feeling that it is going to be 12:40 on Thursday and I am already going to be checked out of the NCAA tournament because BYU just laid a massive egg.
Don't let those thoughts creep into your mind.
Here's the thing.
I have to defend myself a little bit because, again, I've just been let down. It feels like so many times, like, BYU just does not win in the NCAA tournament for whatever reason. Like, but in this team is the chosen one. They are the ones who are better prepared than any BYU team in history. More quad one and two games than any BYU team in history. Like, they are more prepared for it. And somehow I am so scared of watching BYU going 1-for-13 from three in the first half.
Let the spirit of Jimmer descend upon Dallin Hall like a dove and lead BYU to the Sweet 16.
To quote Jeff Hansen, Joe, trust the math. The math has been good to BYU this year. It has. And the thing...
Why don't I think BYU is a good... Somehow, after all this, I don't think BYU is a good shooting team. I think they're a volume shooting team. How is that possible when BYU is shooting like 35 threes a game and they're 35%? Like, it doesn't make sense in my head why I have so much doubt. Help thou my unbelief.
So here's the thing. I did want to double back just real quick on this path, because filling out my bracket last night, spoiler alert to everyone out there, in my more serious bracket, I have BYU to the Elite Eight. That's what I feel. But the craziest part is I got to UConn BYU and I had to pause just a little bit because of what we just finished talking about, which is the way the like long rest versus short rest is set up for BYU is actually perfect. Duquesne, I believe.
Duquesne.
This feels like a Jerry versus Gary Bohannon situation. One of us is wrong.
Which I still don't know if it's Jerry or Gary.
I was wrong.
I'm more confused than ever. But I don't even remember what I said.
Jerry.
I was saying Jerry.
No, I was saying Jerry. You guys
were saying Gary.
Exactly.
And I was shaming you guys for being wrong until a listener of the podcast put together an entire 3-minute montage of people saying Gary Bohannon to tell me to shut the F up.
We need more of that, whoever that was.
More energy, more energy shutting shutting me down.
The listeners are our interns or the fact checkers for us. Yeah. But
except for our actual intern.
Yeah, right, exactly. Paid versus unpaid.
Our intern is our intern. The listeners are our other interns.
Also, completely side note that's completely going to derail the podcast. Trevor, did you knock off your play-in game in the BYU fan tournament?
We'll get to it.
I did. But we'll get to it. Yeah. I believe Jackson talked about this. Jackson Payne mentioned this. This opening round, Duquesne, is that right? Duquesne? We just talked about it and I already forgot.
Duquesne.
Duquesne is a team that has more time to prep, but should be outmatched. Like, theoretically, by the numbers, they should be outmatched. You then get an Illinois team that's better, but they get one day's break. And I like BYU there. You then get Iowa State, who you've played twice. And I just love how this is setting up. It's like so convenient that here's Iowa State sitting here, this team that we have a bunch of common ground with already. And then you get UConn on one day's rest. And I know that UConn's really good, but they're gonna have to have gone through a little bit of a gauntlet themselves. So we're gonna have to beat an Auburn team, and they're gonna have to come right off of that and play a BYU team that's offensively unlike anything that they've probably seen all season.
And guys, we're talking about this as if the NCAA tournament is like the entire East region is just gonna go chalk all the way through. Like, Iowa State plays Drake most likely in round two.
Yeah,
Drake,
this is like zero upsets.
Drake is awesome. Like, Drake is a 10 seed. I have them knocking off whoever the 7 seed is.
Washington State.
Washington State. I think in Wackatology, I have both as 9 seeds with Drake as a little bit higher. Like, Drake is really freaking good, and they can beat. They have the guys to beat Iowa State if they can hit shots. So who knows? Maybe instead of an Iowa State matchup in the Sweet 16, you get a 10 seed Drake to go to the Elite Eight.
It's just a shoot off for the Elite Eight.
So I don't know. In true pregame Joe fashion, I am alternating between, oh my gosh, BYU is going to the Final Four and oh my gosh, BYU is going to lose by 30 in the first round to an 11 seed.
All right, Cougar fans, T-Lev YFan here to talk to you about a sponsor that we have had on this channel for quite a while. And that is Coug Connect. Coug Connect is one of the premier NIL sponsors of all of your favorite athletes, and they have one job, and that's for you to be able to get face-to-face with all of these athletes and be able to have a way to be able to put money in their pockets as they continue to be money on the field. You will be able to enjoy plenty of content with your subscription of $10 a month, such as my own show, Face-to-Face Time, where I've interviewed athletes such as Darius Lassiter and freshman phenom LJ Martin, as well as film study and various articles from Coug Connect members. Again, $10 a month. It's one lunch in a month. Put money in these Cougars' pockets. Head to CougConnect.com. Hit that big blue subscribe button and get your subscription today and start putting in your money and paving the way for these Cougs to make a big name for themselves, both on the field and off the field. To conclude, I think what's fun is the fact that, yes, like, there is potential catastrophe looming on Thursday, but the fact that they're like, name another team outside of like Jimmer's year where you sat down and you could realistically talk yourself into an Elite Eight. There isn't one. And I think that's the thing that gives me a lot of confidence is the fact that I don't feel like I am as blue goggled as they come, but I don't feel like a psychopath talking about BYU getting to the round of eight and repeating what's only been done one other time. Because as painful as it's been at times and as frustrating even as we were at times with UCF when they let them back within three in the conference tournament, Like that BYU team still beat them by like 15 points. And so like, even when it's bad, it ends up being way better than we thought.
And we've talked about it a million times before. For 15 to 20 minutes a night, BYU was going to look like a Final Four team. 15 to 20 minutes of unreal shooting and unreal basketball, I think, is enough to propel BYU to the second round.
Absolutely. But who outside of obviously Iowa State and UConn, naturally, but underneath Illinois, Morehead State, Washington State, maybe Drake, I guess, South Dakota State, if things get really crazy. Like, the thing, too, is that we watched BYU give up leads in the Big 12. Which one of those teams is doing anything that we've seen in the Big 12? Like, which one of those teams is really pulling back from down 17? Like, I could be surprised. I could be totally wrong, but there's a part of me that's like, it feels like, you said it before, Joe, like, it's just like, this is just the Big 12. It's just what the Big 12 does. Well, we're not playing the Big 12 anymore. So there's a part of me that wonders if maybe we're just, the teams we're playing are going to be in for a little bit more than we anticipated and won't have enough punching power.
So, I mean, Illinois is definitely one of those teams. Like, Illinois has a prolific offense. They have a forward who is their primarily ball handler, who's absolutely amazing. Like, Illinois is one of those teams, but they don't play enough defense, I think, to really thwart what BYU is trying to do. So it's more of like, if BYU has like an unreal 15 to 20 minutes, it's going to take BYU going ice cold for the remaining 20 to catch up to them. And again, to your point, I think Illinois can be one of those teams because they score the basketball so well, but also they have a really hard time defending. You got to get there first, but I completely understand the optimism and agree that this is probably about as good of a path as BYU has had in years, which is kind of crazy to say when BYU's path to the Final Four is through four conference champions.
Yeah, there's, if everything goes chalk, yeah, four straight conference champions, which, I mean, that's, you even make it to the Sweet 16 with that, and it's an unreal season.
So who is your guys' pick to be the darling of the NCAA tournament for BYU? Who is going to be that Jimmer-like figure?
I think we're going to see another level from Jackson Robinson, because I just think that's kind of the next step in his progression, right? As he's been sixth man of the year. He looked pretty good in the conference tournament. Obviously, everybody struggled against Texas Tech, but if there was a guy, except for I say that, I'm going to let Hunter give his, because I've kind of changed my mind mid thing. I do think Jackson Robinson is going to have his moments, but I do want to see who Hunter says and then come back to me, because I might have changed my mind already.
I mean, I know you're going to change your mind to Richie Saunders, which is who I was going to say. Like, he's got all the makings for the March Madness NCAA tournament darling, right? Like, an unheralded, off the bench guy, glue guy, comes in, has the ability to just, you know, knock down a couple of threes when you need them most. He's going to talk that talk. He's going to get in the other team's heads. He's going to get in the other team's fan base's heads. They're going to talk about how much they just want to punch that guy in the face. It's the perfect recipe and all the makings of a March Madness darling for BYU. Here comes this white guy, unassuming looking. You know, I think he talked after the loss to Texas Tech about how he hated how that felt and they weren't going to feel that way again, you know, in the March Madness tournament. He's the guy who's going to come in off the bench. He's going to hit like three straight threes when BYU is like down two, right? And it's just going to be the Richie Saunders 5-minute run that we've seen in the past against Iowa State. We saw it there for a little bit against UCF as well. He's the guy who's going to come in, because it's never this, like, Jimmer was the darling, but Jimmer was a national darling all year long. It's always the guys that are the unassuming ones that go on like these crazy, you know, darling March Madness runs. The Gordon Haywards, right? Of like, how's this scrawny looking white guy with the Justin Bieber hair giving it to Duke right now, you know? Or how's this like kid, little kid from, you know, 5'9" guard from Northern Iowa just hooping? But that's always the ones that really catch your attention and steal your heart when it comes to March Madness. So I'm going to say it's going to be Richie Saunders.
For all of those same reasons, the answer is Ali Khalifa.
That's who I changed my. That is who I changed my mind to.
He has the most potential for viral moments of anyone on BYU's basketball team. All it's going to take is a sequence where he just has a ridiculous dime, a block on the defensive end, and then come down and hit a three on the opposite end, and it is going to send Twitter into a frenzy, and BYU will be everyone's favorite team. Like everything that like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Nerd from Indiana State, Robbie Avila, everything that he had the potential to be, Ali Khalifa is actually that guy. The passing, the 3-point shooting, the ball handling to a certain extent, like it is going to be really hard for anyone in this tournament, if Ali Khalifa has like a standard Ali Khalifa game, it is going to be really hard to supplant him as the most viral star, especially when you find out that he's, 6'10" Egyptian man who's balding and is also fasting for Ramadan while all of this and still eating, figuratively speaking. I think it's going to be something special.
I think, to be honest, I think you're both correct. I think Hunter, if I had to pay, like if you gave me Richie Saunders and Ali Khalifa, I think Richie Saunders is going to be like BYU fans' darling, right? I mean, he's already kind of developed himself into that already anyway, but I expect more of that in come March Madness, as you talked about. But yeah, like I said, I said Jackson Robinson initially. I think he is going to continue to do great things. But as far as like what Joe just said perfectly, Ali Khalifa is the guy that you watch as like a 5-year-old kid or a 50-year-old man. And you look at him and you go, I can play ball like that. Like he makes basketball look like something that I can do. And I think that's what makes him a darling. Not everybody has a motor like Richie. Not everybody, you know, can shoot like he does. And he just gets after it, right? And so it's just one of those things where I think Ali Khalifa is like the people's center. You know what I mean? He's like every tall guy in church basketball and every state center from here to St. George. Like he's just one of those guys that just is really likable.
Have you guys ever seen a family with two dogs? One of them is kind of old and sluggish and experienced and just kind of like wanders around, and then there's like this little puppy that's always bothering it, nipping at its heels. That is Richie Saunders and Ali Khalifa in my mind.
Yeah.
Are you saying Ali Khalifa's old and on his last legs?
I mean,
do we have to put Ali Khalifa down, Joe? Is that where this is going?
No, absolutely not. I need him next year to be throwing alley-oops to Colin Chandler when Amen. He gets home from his mission.
Which Waterman's coming back next year too.
Also an important point. Next year is going to be awesome.
And hopefully Dawson Baker and hopefully Marcus Adams.
Too much hype overload. I need BYU to win one game in the NCAA tournament so I can like relax and validate what BYU has accomplished this season. It's just pure fun the rest of the way.
You'll lose Jackson Robinson, you'll lose Spencer Johnson, you'll lose Trevin Nell, based on some text in the group chat. This last game against Texas Tech might not be too sad about losing Trevin Nell and Spencer Johnson, particularly from one of you two that's smirking right now, but I won't say who it was, because the audience can't see this, but you know who it is.
He's going to make a great regional manager somewhere.
Spencer Johnson is Joe's future coworker, so we have to watch what we say.
I love Spencer Johnson. I love what he's given to BYU.
Just kidding. Spencer's built for European basketball, baby. They're going to freaking love him in Portugal.
I love him. He's the reason BYU knocked off Iowa State in Provo. He had like something like 28 points. But just turn around, dude. Stop letting stop getting Jose Alvarez'd. Like, it's, there's always someone behind you. If you steal a ball, you work your way up court, there is by definition someone behind you. Just protect the basketball, please. Over under on how many times that happens in this tournament.
I mean, it feels like he's at least, it's like at least once a game, right?
Over under two and a half.
Over under 2.5. I'm going to say under. I have faith in my boy.
I'm going to say over.
I'm going to say over because it means that BYU made it to the Elite Eight. He keeps it below his average of one a game, but they end up playing four games. So it's like, it's a very positive.
It's a, so very, you have positive. Them losing in the Elite Eight.
Yes. To UConn. I haven't had a team give me this level of confidence.
Trevor, why did you say that? Why did you say that?
You're right.
Actual prediction. Realistic. Like, legitimately predicting BYU Elite Eight. Yeah.
Well, I can't say that now that it's official.
Well,
I can't.
Just did.
No, that was hypothetically.
Hypothetically.
Fingers crossed under the desk.
Hypothetically, BYU plays for the national championship.
So I do want to get our picks. I want how far you think BYU will make it in the tournament. I want a score from Duquesne, the Duquesne game, and I want a hot Duquesne. Take from each of you. Duquesne. Sorry.
Duquesne.
I am the wrong...
Gary.
I think from now on, I'm just going to call Duquesne Gary.
Yes.
Trevor, how far is your official pick? How far is BYU going in the NCAA tournament?
I believe there was a year for BYU to make it to the Elite Eight. This is it. So that's where I have them going. I just think that the prep, I think that the prep time for the teams that we're playing sets itself up perfectly. And I've listened to Sean Farnham, I've listened to John Rothstein all year tell me how unique BYU's offense is and how built for March it is, and I'm just choosing to believe it. So that's my pick.
I think John picked Duquesne.
Yeah, but if BYU wins, BYU, you know, he's gonna tweet Mark Pope keeping the faith.
When he did, in fact, not keep the faith.
True.
Shameful.
BYU, built for March. Mark Pope keeping the faith. Duquesne with the upset.
Ran out
Mark,
of nitroglycerin.
He needs to tweet Mark Pope punishing my doubt.
Yeah, he better not send a Mark Pope keeping the faith tweet after he picks against BYU. If BYU
stay wins. On that side, John.
Yeah.
All right, Hunter, how far is BYU making it?
BYU will make it farther in the NCAA tournament than I will make it in this BYU fan tournament. I will tell you that much. Realistically, I have BYU losing in the Sweet 16 to Iowa State. I just think, like, going on a heater and, like, winning your conference tournament does a lot for teams. It can. Like, if you're the favorite and you're supposed to win, I don't think it moves the needle that much. But, like, for a team like Iowa State, I think that's all the momentum you need going into a tournament like this. We've seen it before where, you know, Kemba Walker and UConn go on a crazy Big East conference tournament run and then go on to win the whole thing. Or we've seen teams who are three seeds in their conference tournament win the whole thing, get a berth, and then go on to make Final Four runs, stuff like that. So I think it's really, like, it does a lot for the confidence of a team like that, especially to knock off Houston the way that they did. Like, that's big time. It's not like Cincinnati playing and beating a hampered Kansas team in round one that wasn't trying. Like, you were playing in the conference championship game. It wasn't a game that Houston wasn't trying to win. So to win like that, to win that game and win it in the way they did, I think is huge. So it's tough for me to predict that they go on and beat Iowa State to go to the Elite Eight, but even getting to the Sweet 16 against Iowa State puts it as a top three season in BYU basketball history.
What's up, Cougar fans? Let me tell you about our newest sponsor, Charlie Hustle. Charlie Hustle is the premier college apparel brand in all of the internet. Seriously, they have everything you need. They have royal, they have navy, they have white. Kalani could fill his entire wardrobe with just three clicks. From tees to hoodies to crew neck sweatshirts to 1984 memorabilia, they have it all for you. Head over to charliehustle.com and get geared up today. That's honestly like, I'm surprised your realistic take is the Sweet 16. I was expecting less. I'm going to be honest.
I like their chance. I mean, beating Duquesne should be like, that's a should win. And so far this season, BYU has won games that they should win. So I'm confident in their ability there. And then again, they're playing a Illinois team that's giving up a lot of points and giving up a lot of threes. So that plays right into the strengths of BYU. And again, to the points that like Trevor has outlined, preparing for this BYU offense on one day rest is a tall task for any team, even a three seed like Illinois. So Sweet 16, baby. To match what Jimmer did too, and to come up one short from what Danny Ainge did, despite not having a Jimmer or a Danny Ainge on this BYU basketball team, is impressive. Would be.
It would make this team pretty freaking special.
Yeah.
My head tells me round of 32, because I feel like I have to be a little bit guarded. My heart and what I'm going to be putting in my bracket and pretty much all of my brackets is BYU to the Sweet 16. Like this team just kind of feels like a team of destiny. So far this season, they've done a great job of following up losses with two really strong performances. I think in Big 12 play, they had five different portions of Big 12 play where they followed up a loss with two straight wins. And in both of those wins, they shot over 32% from three. And that is the magic number for BYU. If BYU can do what they've done all season by following up a really dismal performance against Texas Tech with two decent performances, I think you're right, Hunter and Trevor. I think BYU goes to the Sweet 16. Which is honestly terrifying to say, but man, it's going to be so fun to watch when it happens.
I love it. It's nice after the football year that we had. Cause like granted,
dude, can you imagine what we'd be talking about right now? If BYU was in the NIT,
we'd legitimately be spending an hour every other week talking about spring football. And there's nothing coming out of spring football right now. Like, I don't know if it's genuinely just because BYU is going on this great run that no one's really paying attention to spring ball, but I have not seen anything like or heard anyone talking about what's going on in spring camp. And the things we have been hearing and I have been hearing are not good things, particularly on the offensive side of the ball and particularly about the offensive line and quarterback position.
Hey, offense won the scrimmage on Saturday, from what I was told.
Nice. So that's they won one out of the 10 scrimmages so far this spring. They're batting 0.1. I was going to say batting 100. Literally 0.100. We saw clips from some of the film a week or so ago, and it was rough, to say the least.
Depends on who you asked. The defense was balling out.
Defense might be sick again. Who knows? Defense might be freaking awesome. I really hope that it's more about the defense being really awesome than the fact that there is the lineman that can, again, this year, much like last year, not block anybody.
All right. And now the question you've all been waiting for. Trevor, who are you voting for in the 5-12 matchup of the BYU fan tournament between Hunter and myself?
I legitimately might not vote. Like
Trevor, I need your vote.
Listen. Okay, so truth be told, Joe,
coward.
It's either I don't vote or it's Hunter. Like,
because I need votes. I need the votes, Joe. You were gonna win in a landslide.
It's either because here's the thing. I know that you asked this partially joking. Like, this is like, it's a bit,
way
it's
more than,
it's kind
that
of a
hurt
bit
way more than I thought.
I understand that it's kind of a bit, but like, this is legitimately.
Trevor and I have to stick together.
This is legitimately something that I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is coming, and I have to decide.
I'm not going to vote, but even if I do, it's not going to be for you. Like that is so disrespectful.
No matter what, I'm not voting Joe.
Would you rather I lie, Joe?
Either abstain or just say it with your chest. Like, don't come in here with all this 50-50 nonsense and be like, whoever it is, it's a toss up on who I'm going to pick, but it's certainly not you, Joe.
I don't know who I'm going to vote for, but I do know I'm not voting for Joe, no
Holy
matter
crap.
What.
Holy
shit. That was
smokes.
A brutal way to announce it. I need all the votes
first
I can get,
time
Joe.
The gimmick
you're gonna...
guy, first time the gimmick guy, and now I don't even come behind. Now I'm third place to abstain. Are we kidding?
You're one or two, and you're not one, Joe. That's all we're saying.
I'm not even two.
I was two, not voting at all was number one.
Then support me.
No, here's the thing. Hunter, and I need people, like, we all know how awesome Joe is, okay? He walked the Marriott, not a gimmick.
Great gimmick guy.
Not a incredible.
He's fine.
A glue gimmick guy.
He's like, fine for a gimmick guy.
But
a cute
round even. Two matchup is going to be Joe versus the Cougar Tail Kid.
That kid
they
don't
their,
know what
they have their own. They have their own part of the bracket of just gimmick guys. I don't know how we got put in the like insiders.
Dude, we weren't bracket? Even the worst. We weren't even the worst pick. Boney Fuller is the one seed to Sporty McSports is 16.
Sporty
seed.
Had to do a play-in.
Unreal. Yeah, that is such a ploy for engagement. And it's like, working. We're talking about it.
You put Sporty with like me? That's crazy. Like I was just grateful to like get a play-in vote game thing. But when I saw that he had forgotten Sporty, I was like, huh? Like he should be it's him and Boney are like the one and two overall number one seeds, right? Like
insane.
Who Jackson, else would you...
Jackson? I got a higher seed than Jackson Payne.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What are we doing? What are we awesome. Doing?
Awesome.
So I'm voting for Madness, Joe. I'm saying it with my chest. I'm voting for Hunter.
Let's go. Yeah, the night it'll be
the James Madison of 12 seeds.
Trevor, I'm glad.
The James
glad
Madison of 12 seeds.
I'm glad.
The only hope I have of defeating Joe in round one is if I can somehow infiltrate the University of Utah Twitter to come to my aid.
Now this is some strategy.
I'm Gandalf, riding to go find the Riders of Rohan. Meanwhile, Joe is shacked up in Helm's Deep. I guess you're the orcs in this scenario.
Hunter.
I may have
Hunter's
lost
like, look to the east. Look to the east on the third day.
It's me and Cronair riding down the hill with our banners.
Hunter, you're off the podcast if Cronair's leading the show.
Hunter, how does that feel coming out of your mouth? I need to know how your self-esteem is and how your dignity is right now.
Dude,
talking about selling out to Utah fans to beat me in a meaningless fan tournament.
Look, I'm Trump, baby. I'll do what I got to do to get the dub. You know, I'm trying to win an election right now.
Lazy
That's
Joe.
That's the name of
is
the
that,
game.
Is that where we're going?
Sleepy
we're
Joe.
Going? Sleepy Joe.
Sleepy Joe. He picks fights with the Utah fans. They're fine fans. There's fine people on both sides of the rivalry, Joe. Fine people on both sides. Many good points by everyone.
He's got the swing vote.
Yes. If I can get Iowa, the Utah State fans and Logan, this will be wrapped up.
For what it's worth, I will also be voting for Hunter. Winner's face gets to come out from behind the barcode.
Your face is already out from behind the barcode.
Just shove me in. Shove me behind the Hype Train logo.
Did we ever figure out who Trevor plays in round one?
We did not.
Because you won your plan. I will say, a diabolical move to put me versus Joe in round one.
It was brilliant. Honestly, brilliant.
I mean, my hat's off. That's a great move. That's a veteran move. That guy's put together a bracket once or twice in his life. He was far more creative than the freaking March Madness committee. Like, we talked about BYU not being a five seed, let alone Gonzaga, who was like projected 8 or 9, gets a five seed. We were talking about, you know, will Michigan State make the tournament? They get in at a 9 seed. It was crazy. We leave out Indiana State, the nation's darling, Larry Nerd. Like, what are we? Did they just not care? It was, Joe said it in the text chat, but it was a tragic case of scouting the helmet. And they were just like, oh, yeah, Gonzaga. I guess it was a down year for them. 5 seed. Like, they did not actually watch. It was as if the AP poll voters made the bracket. That's who I imagine was in that room.
It's still so infuriating to me that they couldn't accommodate BYU better than dropping them 4 seeds.
Yeah, they were like, they're 17th overall seed.
Like, BYU earned the number one 5 seed. They were the best 5 seed according to the committee's own admission. And forever and always, we are going to look back on this team as a 6 seed, as the exact same seed line as that team in 2021. And granted, like, if BYU makes a run in the NCAA tournament, like, none of this is going to matter. But like,
if they lose second round,
like, in reality, like, BYU in substance, they got a 5 seed draw. They got, it's essentially what's a 12 seed in the first round. You get Illinois, who's the worst 3 seed, and for most of the season was a 4 seed. And then you get Iowa State, who, in my opinion, should have been a 1 seed. Like, in essence, you are getting the 5 seed type of draw in the NCAA tournament, but without it, it's like getting the title without the pay raise. And it just, like, it's frustrating to me.
Because I'm an idiot and I have a short memory. In 5 years, when we're still doing this podcast, if BYU loses in round of 32, I'm gonna look back on this season and be like, oh, they were a 6 seed. Like, yeah, that's just dumb brain for me. But like, that's, again, down the road, when we're not living in this exact moment, you kind of look back on it and you're like, oh, they were a 6 seed in 2024, you know? And when you're comparing overall teams, again, go to the Sweet 16, go to the Elite Eight, and this is all null and void, because that's what really matters. But like, a loss in the round of 62, 10 years down the road, you're going to look back and be like, yeah, it was a 6 seed, just like 2021 team was.
I got to say, it feels so awesome to be disappointed with the 6 seed.
I mean, we were talking about, like, what can BYU to get to a BYU do to get to a 4 or 3 seed. And then
they almost got there. They legitimately were one spot away. They were one win. Like, flip it to a win. Any of BYU's quad one losses, flip it to a win. Really, flip any of their quad two losses into a win, and BYU is a 4 seed.
BYU doesn't blow the lead on the road against Iowa State, 4 seed.
If they don't blow the lead against Iowa State, if you beat Cincinnati at home, if Trevon Nell hits the 3 against Houston, if you don't lay an egg against Oklahoma State and Kansas State on the road.
Do you think if BYU was the 16th overall seed, because they were 17th overall seed, they got dropped 5 to 6. If they were the 16th overall seed, do you think they keep BYU at 4 and do more to accommodate the no Sunday thing? Or do you really think they drop BYU 2 seed lines?
No, I think they would have to be, again, because the committee caters to the 4 seeds more than anything. They probably would have replaced Kansas on that 4 seed line. And so then you're looking at BYU sitting as a 4 seed in Salt Lake.
Which is wild. The Kansas is overseeded. Again, another example of scouting the helmet.
And again, the guidelines say that the committee is within their power to move BYU up or down a seed line to accommodate for the Sunday play thing. They can't drop them 2 seeds. So, like, again, BYU moves up 1 spot.
Which is crazy that they decided to drop them from 17 to what really ended up being like 21. So they drop them down, in essence, like 4 seeds. Rather than bumping them up 1 seed.
It's ridiculous.
Again, Kansas, who BYU beat on the road, and who, you know, again, they didn't play their starters in the Big 12 tournament, but they have a loss to West Virginia on their schedule. They lost in the conference tournament in round 1 by 20. They, like, I don't know how Kansas ended up getting a higher seed than BYU. Two higher
lots seeds. Lots of wins in November.
Two higher seeds.
Wins in November.
What can you do?
Boys, we're probably going to jump on a Twitter Spaces on Thursday afternoon if everything goes well. Maybe. I don't know. I'm so excited. This is, it's going to be an awesome couple days. It's going to be an awesome day on Thursday. BYU by 50.
60. And 70. Joe, and me versus Joe, me by 50.